This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it's 8:36 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Philip. Now, as the song goes, the taxman is out to get you. And it might be true, given the recent amendments to the Income Tax Act. Now, the amendment introduces the new Section 106A, under which the Inland Revenue Board no longer has to inform taxpayers when requesting their account details from banks for review or investigation. Financial institutions that have to provide this information will also not be allowed to disclose to anyone that a request has been made.
Previously, banks had to get a signed consent form from the taxpayer before they're allowed to release bank account information to authorities. This comes on the back of the finance bill being passed in Parliament on Wednesday. While this might help the IRB in shortening the time frame of tax audit, the public views this as infringing on their rights and privacy. So is this move taking things a step too far, or is it a practice that isn't really new?
So helping us to make sense of this law and how it affects us really is Dr. Virendrajit Singh, Chairman of Tricor Malaysia. Good morning, Virendrajit. Always good to have you. Could we start with maybe an understanding of what the intention of these amendments are? Why has this new amendment been introduced?
Thank you. Very quickly, I think this, the way the media reported this seems to have given us a bit more excitement in terms of interpreting this. But in reality, the actual section that came out, Section 106A, and mind you, this came out with the tabling of the budget and subsequently the finance bill that was just recently passed by Parliament or by Dewan Raya. The subheading of that section says power to call for bank account information for purposes of making garnishee order application. So let me explain very quickly. This is only applicable where civil proceedings have been taken against a person who is owing income tax, right, to the authority. So you would have been assessed and penalties would be imposed if you don't pay in time. And then you take a civil proceeding and then you get a judgment from the court against this person to enforce the proceedings. And therefore, the next step is usually to secure your assets or get to settle your taxes. So you get what they call a garnishee order. To do that, this section now says the Director General of Inland Revenue can require any financial institution to furnish the bank account information of that particular person for the purpose of the order. So if you look at that, you find there's a very specific purpose. Mm. And previously, of course, they couldn't do that. They had to still request the financial institution. The taxpayer would be aware of it because the financial institution would ask the taxpayer and things like that. Now you don't need to ask and you just release that. So I think this is very focused and only for purposes of this particular issue of where a person has already got a judgment delivered by the High Court against him and they're trying to recover the tax liability.
Right. So that means it's really incumbent on that civil proceedings that has to take place. Yeah. They can't just go and willy-nilly like just request and access details. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Just to clarify.
No.
Yeah. And just to also help us understand this a bit better, even with these civil proceedings, does it only apply to local bank accounts only?
Yes, I think as far as this particular section also, it only is a Malaysian law, in the Malaysian law, and the financial institution that they mention in the Section 106A refers, is defined, and it's defined as any person licensed under our Malaysian Act, Financial Services Act, Islamic Banking Services Act, and Developmental Financial Institution Act. So it's only applicable to Malaysian financial institutions.
Would this then encourage people to keep their money offshore? Just curious.
No, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, I think we are getting a little bit excited about the fact that, you know, privacy aspects come into the play. By many other countries, not every country, of course, but you have situations where the taxman has got access to bank accounts or degrees of access. In our case, we actually don't allow that, and unless, of course, you get a consent order from the customer to release that information. Usually, this is requested when you do a tax investigation for perhaps alleged evasion and so on. Otherwise, you as a taxpayer will then have to just be requested by the taxman, and then you just produce your bank statements as part of the information gathering process. So it is quite common in different countries. Even, for example, in some countries, the fact that you draw some cash from the ATM machine, a certain amount, you cross that threshold, the tax authorities in those countries know about it, and information flows to them. You know? So here, we haven't had that yet, but this may well be something to look out for in the future. So I don't think it invades privacy laws. It is only for particular enforcement of particular proceedings against the taxpayer.
You know, I'm just curious why they had to proceed with this amendment. You know, was it very difficult, you know, in the past, you know, to get all this information with the
yes.
bank and, you know, customer consent, you know? I'm just wondering why was this passed?
Let me just give you another quick idea on this, a view on this. But just to address your question first, is why was this passed? You find that over the last 5 to 6 years or so, we find that a lot more powers have been given to the tax authorities in terms of enforcement of the tax liability, because they're beginning to find difficulty in enforcing this and recovering. There are some taxpayers who delay and payments, and despite the penalties being clogged on, you find that they still delay. And then sometimes, and the issue is you pursue with a judgment and you find that the bank accounts don't exist. The money has already been moved away. And then what do? You go after bankruptcy proceedings, and then you go after the actual assets like property. So those are challenges. And I think the tax authorities do face these challenges. We're not aware of exactly to what extent, but I am well aware that these issues do arise. And there are tax liabilities that are outstanding in arrears for quite a while. Chasing that, recovering that is the job of the Inland Revenue as well, but they need to have sufficient powers. I think this is a step forward to give them that power so that you don't have tax arrears outstanding for too long a period. I think that's, to me, it is a function of the failure of the authorities to recover relevant amounts of tax, and therefore they're seeking more powers to do this.
So, Virendrajit, your explanation, you know, it gives a lot of assurance in the sense that this will only be applied in very specific circumstances, and it's really to help tax collecting in their efforts. But at the same time, it does seem to generate some, I suppose, disquiet among the public. We do have a poll running on our Twitter account, for example, asking people what their concerns about the legal amendments are, and the majority of them say that there's fears of abuse. So I'm wondering how should the government then respond or address these concerns that the law might be misused?
I think the issue about abuse exists in every single legislation this country has, or any country has, right? So the issue is safeguards. And if you look at the Income Tax Act way back when it was first enacted, 1967, we've got a section which talks about confidentiality. And that's Section 138. And that has always been there. And I dare say that the Inland Revenue Board has always adhered strictly to this. Confidentiality of taxpayers' information is always ensured. Now, can such information leak out? Look, in reality, anything can happen because we are all humans, and humans do make mistakes or do take liberties. The reality is there is protection in the law, and therefore I don't see that as a concern. When you talk about abuse, it's all about look. In the first place, even in banks, and sometimes we do have cases where your money in the bank account somehow disappears or is someone draws it out, and so that happens in the banking system. But of course, obviously, the bank has got some safeguards but no guarantees. So I don't think taxpayers or individuals need to worry about this. The issue is if you find some possibilities, get assurances. If you find that something is amiss, then get assurances if you are a specific party involved in that. So I think our laws protect us, and the authorities know they are their place, and therefore will manage this very, very clearly and confidently.
Virendrajit, thanks very much for clarifying the law and how it applies on the show this morning. That was Dr. Virendrajit Singh, chairman of Tricor Malaysia, talking to us about the new Section 106A of the Income Tax Act and how it affects taxpayers.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.